brothers. I want to start a series this morning that will last us to Christmas for my part being with you. When you read through
Is your mic on?
Huh?
Is your mic on? I don't hear you coming through.
Am I muted here?
No, you're on.
I'm on, okay. Now? No, not yet.
It's all the way up.
We're good?
No. You may have to reuse it.
Okay. I'll project. Forward. When you read through the New Testament, particularly the Gospels, there are many occasions where individuals meet Jesus and beg him for something. So I'm gonna run through between now and Christmas a number of those vignettes. So here's one. All the townspeople came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to, I can think of a number of reasonable things they could beg Jesus for. For example, they begged him to take a thank you gift. Sir, you've done us an enormous favor. We've been terrorized by these maniacs for years. We were even extremely hesitant to come out at this moment. Thank you for relieving our community of this terror of these demon-possessed men. Take a token of our appreciation. Here's a gift card to the Gadarene Hyatt for a weekend for two, all expenses paid. Would that have been a very reasonable response? And the city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to explain the source of your power. We've never seen anything like this. No one could help these men. You're the only person who wasn't intimidated by them and had power over them. We'd love to know the source of your power. And come with us back into the community and let other people in the community who are disadvantaged and disenfranchised, and these people, these two men can tell their story and give hope to people that they can change by the power of God. Would that have been a reasonable response? And the city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to teach us the ways of God. You obviously have something we lack. No one but God could accomplish this feat. We'd be fools not to capitalize on the opportunity to have God in our midst and learn about the will of God by which our lives will flourish. Human beings flourish knowing the will of God. You obviously did what was best, Jesus, for these two men. You can do what's best for us. Would that have been a reasonable response for them to beg Jesus? And the city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to have mercy on their sins. Sir, this calamity, the pigs rushing into the sea, this is a picture of judgment. We should have been the pigs. We understand that we live in a moral universe. There is a just God coming one day to right every wrong. We deserve God's wrath, given our failure to live uprightly before the living God. So please, if you set these men free from their torment, set our consciences free from the torment of guilt and the shame of our sin. We have nowhere else to go, Lord Jesus. You obviously have the power to cleanse our souls of sin, to rid us of shame and guilt, and to purify the defilement of our hearts. Would that have been a reasonable response? The city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to stay and rule our city. If you have the kind of authority that casts out demons, you certainly have authority over human hearts. By that authority, you could help use it to help people, to set them free as a force of good in our society, unlike those rulers who abuse their power, who oppress us, and who wield their authority for selfish gain. So we beg you, come exercise your authority in our city. Would that have been a reasonable response? All the city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to come to our home and heal others. Look, if you can do this, you can do everything. You're obviously driven by a compassion for the destitute, the weak. You are driven to help people who can't help themselves. We're delighted for these two men, so please come share your miraculous power with those who are sick in our homes, with the people we love. Would that have been a reasonable response? And the city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to show us more of your glory. It appears, sir, that you are willing to display your glory in really messed up people. We humbly acknowledge we don't deserve such grace, and we ask you to reveal your divine glory to us so our lives may be rescued from living for counterfeit glories. We know we're tempted to live for those things that can never satisfy, to live for people's approval, to live for possessions, for appearance, for competence, for comfort, for wealth, for autonomy, for pleasure, you name it, good things that master us if we don't first live for God's glory. Would that have been a reasonable response? And the people came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to teach us principles of stewardship. Now that the pigs are gone, is there a reason, Rabbi, we lost the pigs? Are there better ways to make money? Tell us, Rabbi, are there principles of stewardship we're neglecting to make our lives more holy? Have we sacrificed on the altar of greed the grace of generosity? Would that have been a reasonable response? And the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to explain why these men are so tormented. Help us understand what it means that demons can occupy human people. Why are these men bent on self-destruction? Why do they intimidate others so fiercely? Instruct us in matters of spiritual warfare, that the devil not get the better of us. And please, what things do we need to teach our children that this might not happen to our children, because these two men are somebody's children? And are there gateways in our culture that allow the powers of darkness to come into the lives of our children? Would that have been a reasonable response? And the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to tell us why you sent the demons into the pigs and not the clouds, the rocks, or fish. We've never seen anything like this. We knew that demons occupied people. We didn't know they occupied animals. Does the stampede tangibly demonstrate demons' desire to destroy? Does it tangibly demonstrate that the demons, in fact, have left these men, gone into the pigs that rushed down the back? Would that have been a reasonable question to ask? And the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to interpret why the men are now sitting at the feet of Jesus in their right mind. That's how Luke reports it. The city came out, and they see the two men sitting in their right mind at the feet of Jesus. How would we know we're in our right minds? How would we know our interpretation of the Creator's world is actually, does it comport to the way that we're living? Would that have been a reasonable response? Yes. 10 of them. What do they beg Jesus to do? Leave the region. That has to be a patently unreasonable response to the setting free of these tormented men. Look, if truth and wisdom and glory and love walked into your neighborhood, only seeking to improve the quality of people's lives, would you ask it to leave? There's something profoundly broken in the souls of this whole city. They want him gone from the region. That means get yourself as far from us as you possibly can. So let me ask a couple questions of this pathetic scenario. Do you feel how pathetic this is? That there are 10 really good things they could have begged Jesus for? Well, why does the city respond this way? I can think of 3 reasons. One, they're concerned that Jesus will put the mental health professionals out of business. Why I don't think that's reasonable is not all mental health is due to demonic oppression. Some of it is, but not all of it. Second possible reason, they think Jesus may torment them. My response, if you were in the power if you were in the presence of something that had power to torment you, you would be afraid of it. Luke tells us the whole city was full of fear. Fear is a very debilitating emotion that clouds clear-mindedness. My response to this is the only tormented people in the narrative are the demon-possessed men who are now free from the prison of isolation and darkness and death and self-destruction. Jesus met them and set them free. So it's not certain these people fear Jesus is going to torment them. Third possible explanation, and I think the only reasonable one, they perceive Jesus was a threat to their well-being, to their economic well-being. The destruction of the pigs creates substantial disadvantage to their livelihood. It seems to be they're saying this, you already caused us enough financial stress. Are you going to do another financial 9/11 on us? Are you going to pollute our water? Are you going to poison our crops? Are you going to impose economic restrictions that hurt our economy? They're deeply concerned about their economy. Can't imagine any other reason why they asked Jesus to beg the region. Next question. What's at the root of their thinking? Again, if you read Luke's account of this, Luke says they begged him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So in the story, who has great fear? The demons do. Are you here to torment us before the time? They recognize Jesus is the Son of God. They know the Son of God is coming in judgment. They know their future is to be cast into the lake of fire, because Jesus Christ possesses all authority in heaven and earth, and there's a point in human history he will do away with all death and evil. Jesus alone has power to torment the tormentors. But how sad when fear eclipses the truth. Look, if Jesus asks you to depart with something, and apparently it's okay with Jesus in his own economy that the city lose the pigs. If Jesus asks you to depart with something, your pride, your sloth, your lust, your greed, your overambition, if he asks you to depart with a critical spirit, your impatience, it's not because he's here to torment you. It's because he loves you. He only asks you to lose what harms your soul, and he possesses the power to replace it with something better. But for this town, life is what? Life is money, it's security, it's material possessions, and therefore they feared economic calamity. So the question, beloved, in the story I think that God asks you is this: how do you define true riches? The townspeople define riches as material comfort and security, and they lost that in the destruction of the pigs, and they're fearful Jesus is going to impact their economy worse. How do you define true riches? Well, who are the richest people in the story? The two demon-possessed men. They've been set free. The evidence of that is they're sitting at the feet of Jesus, Luke tells us, clothed in their right mind. What could be better than that? What could be better than sitting in the presence of Jesus in your right mind, liberated from the tomb of isolation, death, torment, fear, and demonic oppression? Do you believe that? Would you rather have riches as your culture defines it, or mental health as Jesus defines it? You see the contrast in the narrative, narrative, beloved? The men have moved from fierce maniacs to peacefully enjoying emotional and mental thriving. So it forces you to ask what question? How do you know when you're in your right mind? How do you know? The text suggests it this way. What do you make of the exercise of Jesus' power? How do you know you're in the right mind? What you make of the exercise of Jesus' power. And the reason I get that is obviously Jesus' power is exhibited in this story. But the vignette right before this is the story of Jesus with the disciples in the boat on the stormy sea. Jesus is asleep. The boat is getting swamped. They wake up. Oh, we're fearful. But he says, why are you of little faith? He calms the sea. And what question do the disciples ask next? What sort of man is this that calms the sea? That's how you know you're in your right mind. You are asking the question of Jesus, what sort of man is he? When the townspeople came out to meet Jesus, that should have been the first question out of their mouths. What sort of man is this that can control demons, that loves to set free the oppressed, that preaches good news to the poor? Rather, they begged him to leave their reason, that region. That's how you know you're in your right mind. So, beloved, do you believe Jesus is here to torment you? Far from it. Jesus Christ came to earth to use all his power and authority to be tormented for you, to submit to his Father's will that he be crucified on the cross, tormented by human beings, wrongfully accused, dying the horrible death, the horrible hell your sins deserve. This is what Jesus suffered, tormented, facing the wrath of his Father in his own soul. Oh, this is Jesus. So Jesus knows when those pigs rush down the hill, he knows that's a picture of the judgment he is going to suffer on Good Friday. He will be drowned under the wrath of his Father for the sins of his people. That's the sort of man that's come to set you free from the tyranny of sin and death and the devil. Is Jesus dangerous only to the proud and self-sufficient and to people who want to have God leave the region? Last question. What will happen when you really trust in the liberating power of Jesus? Luke's account. Matthew's is really very compressed. That's why I use it in the bulletin. But in Luke's account, we're told the man from whom the demons had gone out begged Jesus to stay with him. Another way you know you're in your right mind. He begged Jesus to stay. Do you see the progression? Jesus appears. The demons beg Jesus not to torment them. Then they beg Jesus to throw them into the pigs. Then the townspeople beg Jesus to get out of Dodge. And the men set free, beg that Jesus would not leave them. Lord, stay. Work your power to make me whole. I want to see you. I want to know you. I want to watch you. I want to listen to you. I want to study your impact on others. I want to rest in your love, praise your majesty, and rejoice in your kingdom. Lord Jesus, you are life. You are liberty. You are hope. You are salvation. You are my cleansing. You are joy. You are peace. You are right-mindedness. You are true riches. What a picture of faith. Jesus is all I need and all I have. When you believe that, what will you do? Luke tells us they went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus did for them. And that's what we've already talked about in this worship service so far. Leaving this place in a few minutes and telling everyone in the city how much Jesus has done for us. Particularly the horrendous cost of suffering his Father's wrath, far more than the pig suffered, and seeking to be a vessel of God's grace that people be rescued from the coming judgment. Oh, there's a judgment coming far worse than the pigs, far, far worse. So, beloved, we are emboldened by his grace, empowered by his love, and set free from selfishness to give ourselves for the sake of Western Albemarle and hope. Let me pray for us to that end. Lord, use this precious church. Use my brothers and sisters as those you have come and you've set free from darkness. You've set free from death. You've set free from sin. You've set free from demonic influence to know you, love you, savor you, see you, walk with you, delight in you, and may we be vessels of this liberating light and love of Jesus right here for your glory. Amen. Amen. Amen.